Joined now by the play-by-play voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers on Fox Sports Ohio, Fred McLeod. And Fred, you get to do something we don't get to do as other media members. You get to sit in during practices, watch these guys practice, you travel with the team, and then you call the games. So can you give us and my listeners out there an idea of the progression this team made from day one through the end of the season? Even though they didn't make the playoffs, they're talking about the progression. Did you see it from day one to the end of the season?
Yeah, again, it's not an excuse, but so many young guys, you know, learning to play with each other. And I think Kyrie is a great example, Deion as well, Tristan too, all of them. Tyler Zeller coming off the bench, you know, learning how fit occurs. And it just, I look at Toronto as a very similar situation with Dwayne Casey. He had to totally change what they did and how they did it. They were a very soft team, he readily admitted it. And now they're tough as nails defensively. But it took 3 years. And Mike's year one into it. And I do think he changed some of the defensive culture in holding those young guys accountable. And not to cast aspersions on Byron Scott, the way he was doing it, but it's just a different mentality, different focus. And so, yeah, I did see it. And, you know, can you see in on a Monday versus a Tuesday difference? No, it's over time. But I watch how Mike interacts with the guys and how he holds them accountable, but yet can put his arm around him at the same time. And I don't know how you wouldn't want to play for Mike Brown. So I think those things take time, and I think you'll see next year a better defensive team because they'll go into camp knowing what has to be done and what positions on the floor they have to be. And again, it just takes time, and I know nobody wants to hear that. And from a broadcast side, I want it to happen right away too, but it does take time.
As I watched the team unfold this year, there were a lot of peaks and valleys, yep. Twists and turns. The Andrew Bynum situation didn't work out. Chris Grant gets fired. David Griffin takes over, and they play above 500 basketball after David took over, and we just got done listening to his press conference. Do you think that move did have an impact on the players? Because a lot of people were saying, well, firing the GM, what's that going to do for the players? The way I looked at it was that, you know what, the guy that drafted you is no longer here, so there's a new set of eyes watching you. And he may not be married to you like the previous GM was. So Mike Brown's staying, so you better play for Mike. And that GM's watching, and at the end of the season, changes could be made. So did you notice a difference once Chris was let go and David took over?
Yeah, and more than a knock against Chris, I think Griff really has that special talent of people skills. I mean, he even does it with me. I mean, he'll come over and we'll discuss things and he'll let me know things that are going on that he sees, and I'm going, wow, I didn't know that. And so for me, it's a privilege to see that and hear that from him. And I think, you know, a great example is after the Boston game, everybody was really down on the way the Cavs performed that night against the Celtics, a team they should have beaten, a team that was shorthanded, and everybody knew that it was not a good performance. But Kyrie walked out, and he was really down, and Griff came up to him, put his arm around him, and I wasn't privy to what was said, but just that moment, you know, he picked Kyrie up, and I think that's one of his special skills, and he's very bright, very smart, I've talked to him since he's been here. I remember when Tristan Thompson was drafted, he said people are going to understand this kid's motor is something special. And raw, absolutely raw. Still has to get better as an offensive player and still has to get better at finishing around the rim. But even then, he was pointing out things about Tristan's game that that kind of crystallized for me what kind of upside he could have. So I think he changed the vibe, and so everybody felt it, and the traveling party, everybody in the coaching staff, and so he's paid his dues. Now, whether or not he becomes the full-time general manager, time will tell.
This team, when you look at them compared to the Atlanta Hawks, and you mentioned the Toronto Raptors, a team that grew, the Charlotte Bobcats, another team that got in the playoffs this year. I expected the Cavaliers to be the Washington Wizards, one of those teams this year. So I was disappointed they didn't make the playoffs. How far away, though, do you think they are from any one of those teams I just named?
I don't think they're far. And here's the other thing, Kenny, that people forget, and we revisit it all the time. Go back to 2010. The Cavs got nothing for LeBron James. Had to start over. Did not have a first-round draft pick. You look at all those teams that have turned around. They had. So for me, really, the turnaround is year one with Kyrie and Tristan. You have to look at it that way because they didn't have any assets to go to at that point in 2010. Chris Paul obviously left New Orleans. They got something for him. Dwight Howard, Orlando was able to get something for him. Carmelo Anthony leaving Denver, they were able to get something. So you have to go back on that. And obviously the organization learned a lot about what happened in 2010. So in that framework, the Cavs really are 3 years into this rebuild. And do they have ways to go? Absolutely. But I do think they're getting closer. And I do think, as David said, they've got assets to trade. Don't look at all these draft picks. 2015 pick from Miami, the Memphis pick that's going to be a pretty darn good lottery pick when we'll have it, we don't know. But those are assets, and they're going to be very aggressive to try to get some veteran leadership and some skill in here to add toughness, to add shooting. And so in what form, who knows? But I do know that, around trade deadline, they were very aggressive and will be leading up to draft night and trying to improve this team. And as David said, if that pick at 9 or 10 or wherever they pick, or higher, or lower, if it's not the fit, then they'll be aggressive trying to move that pick.
Are you with me in that my expectations, based on 17 and 16 in the last 33 games, $26 million at least in salary cap space, another lottery pick, are you with me in that this team has to make the playoffs next year?
Oh, no doubt. But it's the progression, and nobody's going to come out and say, we've got to make the playoffs next year or bust. Everybody knows it. They wanted to make it this year and didn't and fell short. But I go back to, think about it, 19 losses. It was a one-possession game in the final 5 minutes. The year before, they had lost 32 games, one-possession game in the fourth quarter. So some improvement was made, and, but obviously the growth has to be there for everybody from ownership on down, and it's not acceptable. But in terms of putting a mandate on it saying we've got to make the playoffs in 2014 or next year in 2015, they're not going to do that. But absolutely everybody expects it. And I think Anthony Bennett could be a key part of this too. If he comes back, as everybody thinks he will, having a summer under his belt, that's like another lottery pick. Think about it. The kid is skilled. And the kid, I watch him every day.
Wait, I was going to ask you, what do you see? Because I wasn't high on the pick when Chris made it, and it ranks as one of those bust seasons for the number one right overall now. Pick right now. Exactly.
Because people were ripping on Deion Waiters in his first year. He couldn't shoot. He was inconsistent, ball hog.
Right.
He's developing. Again, the kid is young, and I think he'll be even better. I like his toughness, but getting back to Bennett, I do see he's got a great NBA body. His body fat is down now to where it was when he was in college. Listen, he had to work on his confidence. He felt the weight of the world of being the number one overall pick. And in a normal year, like this year, maybe he'd be, 6, 8, 9, 10, who knows. But the kid's got long arms. I really think he could be a stretch 3 or 4 in this league, or stretch 4 in this league. His toughness, he'll spend a lot of time in the weight room. I look at his shot. I think it's pretty clean now. It's just he's got to get confidence in belief. And again, the kid's 21 years old, but I believe this in my core that he can be the best player in that draft in time. Now, whether it's this year or next year or 5 years from now, time will tell.
Fred, we always appreciate the time. Enjoy the offseason, and we'll see what Dan Gilbert and the Cavs are up to.
Go Blue Jackets and go Browns in the draft and everything else. I enjoy your website. You're doing a great job, and you keep me informed on Twitter all the time. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, Fred. There you have it, another Roto Report with Fred McLeod of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And as always, C-Town, keep it real.